You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, we got a whole lot of Orioles news to get to. Couple of different deals and moves by the Orioles breaking over the weekend, and we're going to get to them all here today. And then coming up after the break later on the episode, of course, it is once again Mailbag Monday. We're going to answer another one of your mailbag questions. This one's going to be about the future of the Orioles minor league affiliates and minor league baseball in general in the major leagues as they are looking to cut minor league teams heading into 2021. So we will get to that question after the break. But first up, Orioles news from the weekend. And let's start with what I pretty much thought was the biggest piece of news for the Orioles. They are bringing back one of their stars from the 2020 season. That is Jose Iglesias. The Orioles on Sunday deciding to officially pick up the team option on Jose Iglesias' contract. So he will be an Oriole, it looks like, at least at this point, in 2021. It was a $3.5 million option for the Orioles to pay him in 2021 after they paid Iglesias $2.5 million in 2020. So in total, in his time with the Orioles, at least in this stint, he'll make $6 million over 2 years. And of course, Iglesias, extremely, extremely successful, both at the plate and in the field for the Orioles this season. Now, of course, he did miss a solid amount of time this year with injury, but when he was on the field for the O's, he was one of their best players really all season. Iglesias did only play in 39 of 60 games for the O's and had only 150 plate appearances, but had he stayed healthy, gotten a little bit more plate appearances, he would have been a number one in the race for the American League batting title. Iglesias hitting .373 on the season with a .400 on base, .556, slugging 160 weighted runs created plus for Jose Iglesias. He had 3 home runs. He drove in 24 runs as well, and also 17 doubles for the Orioles shortstop. Now, he did sit out a lot because of multiple lower body injuries. He was DHing a lot because there were times where he was healthy enough to be back in the lineup, but not quite healthy enough to be out at shortstop for the O's. But either way, a great season for Iglesias. And you know, the issue was, you know, we thought maybe Mike Elias and the O's would not pick up that option on Iglesias trying to save some money, but they did indeed do it. And unless they were to deal him, he's going to be the Orioles opening day shortstop next April. But for the O's, there was also a move that they made a little earlier in the weekend that kind of cast a shadow of doubt about the Jose Iglesias news. And that was a waiver claim that the Orioles made. We know how successful they've been on the waiver wire over the past couple of years under Mike Elias, and they're trying to do that again this season. Orioles on Saturday claiming Yolmer Sanchez, the infielder off of waivers from the Chicago White Sox, and adding Sanchez to the 40-man roster. Yolmer Sanchez, 28 years old out of Venezuela, and he's been in the big league since 2014. All of his big league games have been with the Chicago White Sox, 657 games with the Sox. In that time, a .245 hitter with a .300 on base, .360 slugging percentage, 32 homers, and 113 doubles in that time. Now, Sanchez was actually waived by the White Sox last offseason after the 2019 campaign. He was claimed by the San Francisco Giants, who then never used him in a game, put him back on waivers. And the White Sox actually claimed him again, and Sanchez ended up playing in 11 games with the White Sox in 2020, 21 plate appearances. He went 5-for-16 to the dish with 3 doubles, a home run, and 5 walks. He was pretty good, and obviously a very small sample size in 2020. But the White Sox have so much young talent in their lineup, didn't have room for him on the roster, and they ended up putting him on waivers again, and the Orioles claim him. So the O's now have another good option in their infield at the moment in Yolmer Sanchez. He's never been a fantastic hitter, but he's been an incredible defender, can really play third, short, and second base, and he won the Gold Glove in the American League in 2019 at second base. So a really good defender, some great defense the Orioles will love to see. There's a good shot that on opening day, it's Sanchez at second and Iglesias at short. That is an incredible defensive pairing up the middle in the infield for the Orioles. They're going to love that. So he gets added to the 40-man, and it does potentially ask some questions about Hanser Alberto and his future with the Orioles with the claiming of Sanchez. Not a good chance that the Orioles keep Sanchez, Iglesias, and Alberto all around on the roster, but we will see moving forward. We'll talk about that more on tomorrow's episode. We're going to dive a little deeper into Sanchez and his career and what he can bring to the Orioles, so look forward to that tomorrow. But the news continuing with the O's, as some news from today, something we knew was going to happen, but it becomes official. The Orioles activating Trey Mancini and Richie Martin, both from the 60-day injured list, meaning both players get added back to the 40-man roster. The O's 40-man now at 35 players as they added three guys over the weekend, of course, Sanchez and now Mancini and Martin back on there. So five open spots on the Orioles 40-man as we get closer and closer to them having to protect some players from the Rule 5 draft and get some of these prospects on the 40-man. Remember, you always want to keep one spot open for the Rule 5 draft. So we'll see what the Orioles do with either four or five open spots. Orioles also seeing a couple guys become free agents over the weekend. Remember, they had multiple players go through waivers, and three of those guys have rejected assignments to the minor leagues and will now become free agents. David Hess, Brandon Kline, and Cole Stewart, those three right-handed pitchers, will all become free agents, all definitely candidates to potentially come back to the Orioles on minor league deals. I think Cole Stewart is the best out of the three. Brandon Kline has had the most success probably in an Oriole uniform, at least last season out of the three. And David Hess has thrown the most innings for the Orioles out of the three. So all three with a chance to come back, but we will keep our eye on that as well. And, you know, maybe the Orioles bring any of the three back and we'll see, you know, especially the Cole Stewart one, who was a former first-round pick of the Twins, came over on waivers last year and opted out of the 2020 season because he does have diabetes and was at extra risk because of the coronavirus, so decided best for his health to opt out of the 2020 season and was then put on waivers by the Orioles. So he's going to go around looking to see if he can get a major league deal. Of course, did spend a good amount of time in the majors with the Twins before they DFA'd him last season. But Cole Stewart will look around and maybe the Orioles do bring him back. We did get to see him pitch in one of those exhibition games in summer camp. He started one of those games. He's got a whole lot of movement on that fastball. It's a true two-seamer that really goes away from lefties, and his changeup kind of does the same thing. So definitely some potential still there from the former first-round pick, Cole Stewart. And of course, Brandon Kline, we talked about him, was pretty good in limited chances in 2020. I would say David Hess probably not likely to come back after he really struggled over the last 2 years. But those are not the Orioles' only guys who have become minor league free agents at the moment. Coming out just today, as I'm recording this here early Monday afternoon, 422 players in Major League Baseball were declared minor league free agents, guys who went through waivers and had their contracts run out. And definitely some interesting names among guys for the Orioles. And some guys who have just recently gone through waivers, and I'll give out really the big names here. It starts for the Orioles with David Hess, who we just mentioned, and then Andrew Velasquez, who was the one guy on that list who initially hadn't refused the move to the minors, but he does. So Andrew Velasquez is now a free agent. Of course, any of these guys could be brought back very easily by the O's on minor league deals. Other names who are now minor league free agents for the Orioles: Brian Gonzalez, the left-handed reliever who was in summer camp with the Orioles this year, was at the alternate site all year, an Orioles draft pick from years ago who's turned into a reliever. He will be a free agent for the first time. We'll see if the Orioles bring him back. A guy like Luis Ortiz, who we thought, you know, maybe the Orioles would give a shot to in the majors, got close last year. He is a free agent. Jose Rondon, the infielder, got a little taste of the big leagues in 2019 with the Orioles. Another waiver claim guy. He is a free agent. Richard Urania, the former Blue Jays infielder who the Orioles claimed last year, also a free agent. And then really the biggest name on this list for the Orioles is Dwight Smith Jr. He will not be in the Orioles organization this offseason. He is now a minor league free agent. We will see if the Orioles bring Dwight Smith back after he had a really rough 2020 and was DFA'd about halfway through the year. So all those names, minor league free agents for the Orioles, and we'll see if any of them come back to the O's. But speaking of the minor leagues, there are some changes coming. Major League Baseball talking about potentially cutting 40 minor league teams, which would include some of those short season teams. We've already seen the Appalachian League. The Orioles do not have a team in that league, but it is a rookie ball league that a lot of teams have a stake in. They have already turned that league into a college summer wood bat league that will be affiliated with Major League Baseball, but will not be minor league baseball. Now, potentially some talk about doing the same with the New York Penn League, which would impact the Orioles. And coming up after the break, we answer a mailbag question here on a Mailbag Monday, talking about the future of the Orioles minor league teams. Built Bar has come back even better. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, well, now it has even more flavors that make it taste even better than it already did. They've got new flavors like caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, and carrot cake. That kind of stuff, you know, you start thinking about fall flavors, those fit right there for Built Bar. They've still got the 12 original flavors like peanut butter, mint brownie, and toffee almond, but the bar's still covered 100% in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. But they don't just taste great, they're also good for you. That's the best part about Built Bar as well. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet as well. You talk about the peanut butter bar, it's got 19 grams of protein and just 180 calories while only 5 grams of sugar. This bar is delicious and good for you as well. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So we're back here on a Mailbag Monday answering your questions. And if you want your question answered in the future, you can email us at lockedonorioles@gmail.com or tweet us at lockedonorioles. You can tweet me at @ConnorNewcomb_ as well to ask your Orioles questions, and we will answer them on the show every Mailbag Monday. This week, as I mentioned before the break, we're going to talk about the Orioles minor league affiliates. And we got a question from Carl from Delaware sending this one in saying, what will the Orioles farm team affiliates be in 2021? I know that at this stage, it will just be somewhat of a guess, but I'm curious to your thoughts on this issue. Carl, season ticket holder in Delmarva and wanting to know if the Shorebirds will be back. Well, we haven't really heard anything yet about the teams that have full seasons. So that starts with Delmarva and goes up. For Delmarva, Frederick, Bowie, and Norfolk, we really haven't heard much. And it seems like, although we don't know, it seems like those teams will be safe at least for the 2021 season and hopefully going forward. The issue comes for the short season teams, and that includes the Aberdeen Ironbirds in the New York Penn League, of course, where a lot of the O's top draft picks head to after the draft in June, which is when they start their season. Of course, we heard the news a couple of weeks back that Major League Baseball already making some changes to one of its short season leagues, the Appalachian League, which houses a good number of teams that play the short season ball, will not be a minor league anymore. Essentially, it will be a college wooden bat league. It will be for college freshmen and sophomores to play in that league, but it will be affiliated with Major League Baseball. It just won't be minor league baseball. So Major League Baseball will have its hand in that league. It'll give players a better chance to get looked at by scouts because it'll be run by Major League Baseball, but it will be a college summer league. And those teams will not be minor league teams, including, you know, the Burlington Royals, the Kansas City Royals affiliate down there, just one of the teams, Johnson City Cardinals, another one down there. They will not be minor league teams anymore. But Major League Baseball, with this news coming out last week, also talking about potentially doing this to the New York Penn League, which is another short season league that the Orioles do have a team in. The O's do not have a team in the before-mentioned Appalachian League, but they do have a team in the New York Penn League. That is the Aberdeen Ironbirds in Harford County. And the O's, of course, have had the Ironbirds for a while. Of course, the Ripken family has its name all over that team at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. And it is being talked about moving that league to also becoming a college summer wood bat league. Now, it would run a little differently than the plans they have for the Appalachian League. But the current plan is for Major League Baseball. They don't just want to dissolve the teams. They want to still use these teams and these stadiums. And frankly, the New York Penn League has some beautiful ballparks in it. I mean, Ripken Stadium is great. You go to MCU Park up in Brooklyn for the Mets team, the Brooklyn Cyclones. That is a beautiful ballpark on Coney Island on the water out there. There are some really cool places to play in the New York Penn League. Major League Baseball, they want to take this team or these teams from affiliated to a wood bat league. And the plan is that for the New York Penn League, they are going to include rising college seniors. So the Appalachian League would be for freshmen and sophomores. This would be purely for college seniors who are looking to get maybe one final look before next year's draft. And some guys who go overlooked, you know, you can, you know, get drafted after 3 years in college and also out of high school. Once you've become a senior and you're playing your fourth year in college baseball, a lot of these guys get overlooked, get drafted very low, or have to be undrafted free agents. They don't get selected at all. This would give them a really good chance for these seniors to get looked at. However, it would mean that the New York Penn League, including the Aberdeen Ironbirds, would not be a minor league team anymore. They would be a college summer league team and a wooden bat league. They usually play 76 games in that league. It would go down to a 60-game slate, just like Major League Baseball had this year. And there would be some changes to maybe the teams in the league as well, whereas a couple of the teams, including the West Virginia Black Bears, who play in Morgantown and play in the same field as West Virginia University plays its baseball, and the New York Mets team, the Brooklyn Cyclones, there are chances that those two teams could actually stay as minor league teams and be promoted to higher levels. There's talk about potentially the Brooklyn Cyclones moving up to Double-A, replacing the Binghamton Rumble Ponies as the Mets Double-A affiliate. And also some talk about the Black Bears moving up as well. But right now it looks like the plan would be for the rest of those teams to potentially become college summer wood bat league teams. It would be run by Major League Baseball, but it wouldn't be the minor leagues anymore. You wouldn't have guys playing there who were already in the Orioles system. They would just be college seniors. So all in all, if this plan goes through for Major League Baseball, there would still be baseball in Aberdeen in summer of 2021, but it would look much different. And you wouldn't have the excitement. You know, for me, someone growing up in Harford County, live about 20 minutes from Ripken Stadium, you know, that was my minor league ballpark that I would head to. That is the park more than any I've been to see minor league baseball. And it was very exciting. You know, the season starts early June. You get to late June, early August in Aberdeen's season, they start getting some of the Orioles draft picks from that year. And it's not, you know, your 25th, 30th rounders. It's your first, second, third round guys start to make their way to Aberdeen right around late June, early July, or maybe early August. And once they get there, it becomes very exciting. You know, last year you could go see Adley Rutschman play with Aberdeen for a couple of weeks. And much of the Orioles' top pitchers, you know, will go to Aberdeen and finish out the half season there. It's exciting to go see him. For a lot of the Orioles' top draft picks, Aberdeen was the first place you could really see them play competitive baseball because they would either start by going to the Gulf Coast League Orioles and, you know, really not much of a league down there to go see them. And of course, also most Orioles fans in Maryland, they'd go down to Florida, and then they would move up to Aberdeen, which is the first time you could see them, or they'd go straight to Aberdeen after getting drafted. So it was the first time we would get a look at any of these guys. A lot of good memories from Ripken Stadium, seeing a lot of great future Orioles, and some guys who are in the system right now, including Adley Rutschman, as I mentioned, saw them pass through Aberdeen in a really great ballpark. I mean, to me, I've been to all the ballparks in the Orioles system. They've got some good ones. I still think Aberdeen takes the cake, and it would be pretty disappointing to see that team no longer be a minor league affiliate of the Orioles and be really a wood bat league for scouting purposes, essentially. And it'd still be nice to see baseball there, and hopefully there will be baseball, but it just will not be the same without the minors. And a lot of these towns, you know, they run on minor league baseball, and it's the big event in the town, and Major League Baseball taking it away. Really just no other way to put it. It sucks to see it go. And Aberdeen, of course, is my minor league baseball stadium, the closest one to me. I've been there countless times for games and other events. Even worked there for a few summers in high school as well. And to see it, you know, turn into not a minor league affiliate would be devastating. And obviously, you know, the Appalachian League news is official. The New York Penn League news is not official. It's just been talks in minor league baseball and Major League Baseball. We hope it doesn't happen, but we will see. And of course, we'll have all the updates for you here on the pod. So thank you, Carl, for the question here on this Mailbag Monday. So we will be back with you tomorrow on Tuesday. Again, we're going to talk a little bit more about Yoimer Sanchez. The host of Locked On White Sox and Locked On Podcast Network is going to join the pod. We're going to talk all about Yoimer, his addition to the Orioles, why the White Sox let him loose twice, and what he can bring to the Orioles infield next season. Plus, we'll keep you updated with all of the Orioles news as we get closer and closer to the winter meetings and you know, the offseason really getting into full swing for the Orioles. But we'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.